Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Luke, chapter 15. We'll read verses 11 through 18 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 18. Luke 15, verses 11 through 18. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you that your presence is here. Lord, the world is tough and mean and nasty, but what a wonderful respite called the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for the man of God that you've given us. Fill our preacher with your power. May we listen so that we can go out and reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I want to remind you that if you're saved, you're in a spiritual battle. And I don't want you to forget that. It is so easy for us as we live through life to forget that not only are we to be spiritual at church, but we're to be spiritual away from church. And we somehow tend to forget about God and the things of God and the battle that rages between God and the devil. We tend to forget about it when we get away from the church building. Then we find ourselves in the midst of this battle going on out there, and we don't often enough associate the battles of life with the spiritual battle that we are truly in. You're in a spiritual battle. And I indeed want you to remember it. I'm going to talk to you today about your hurts. I want to talk to you today about your burdens. I want to talk to you today about your heartaches. But I want to remind you, we are in a spiritual battle. Oh, and let me recommend that in the midst of this battle, when hurt comes your way, don't lose your head. Amen. Don't panic over the hurt, the burden, or the heartache. Those men that are in this building that have undergone military training, they have been taught and they were trained that when you get into battle and the real bullets start flying, don't lose your head. Yes, remember your training. Don't panic. Why? Because you get hurt worse that way. Yes, you get hurt worse that way. And my friend, you and I are in a spiritual battle. There's a real devil. And he doesn't like us. He especially does not like our daddy.
That's right.
He's upset about our Heavenly Father. And I want you to remember, when hurt comes your way, when burdens come your way, when heartache comes your way, you've got to remember not to lose your head. Be reminded, the devil, he's real. He's out to hurt us. He's out to get us down. And I think if we will figure out a way, when the hurt comes, to somehow grab a hold of our minds, keep ourselves from panicking, logically face and deal with that hurt. And if we'll do that, he won't be shooting us in the back while we're running.
Right.
And we'll be safer. I've entitled this morning's sermon, How Our Hurts Can Help. How Our Hurts Can Help. Earlier, we shared together the famous story of the prodigal son. Let me retell it. You've heard it time and time again, but there's always something that we can learn from this story. A man had two sons. One of the sons, in a rebellious way, decided to leave home. He demanded of his father his inheritance. His father then gives him his wishes, and this young man leaves home. He goes a long way away from home to a distant land. Once he arrives there, in a rebellious fashion, he begins to spend his money, live it up, you know, having a good old time, living like the world. And the Bible says he ends up wasting all of his money. So you know, getting away from God, getting away from authority, getting away from the church, it may look like a real good time, and it may start that way, but it won't turn out that way. Slowly but surely, this young man's situation is deteriorating. He wastes all of his money. A famine comes to that distant land. Now he finds himself in deep trouble. He finds himself not being able really to find a job, and the only way that he could stay alive is he feeds the pigs on a farm, and the farmer says, "You get to the pigs eat first, and you eat the leftovers." And it was virtually eating the husks from the corn, not the corn, the husks from the corn was all this young man was allowed to eat. No money, no anything. About, he would have died. A farmer says, "I'll let you feed my pigs, and whatever the pigs don't eat, you may eat." And the young man's sitting there. He's slopped the hogs, if you will. His life is a mess. And he comes to himself and he decides to go home. He says, "I need to go home. My life's a mess." When he went home, the Bible says his father greeted him there and loved him, and mama met him, and the folks decided they would give him a little homecoming party. And that's how the story went. But I want you to know something. We so often tell that story, but notice something. There's an awful lot of suffering that went on in that young man's life. Indeed, it was self-inflicted. But you be careful, you Christian Pharisee, that you look at someone that has brought on self-inflicted suffering and you have no mercy on them. Well, let me remind you, whether they brought the hurt on themselves or it was brought on by somebody else, people still have hearts and people still suffer and people still hurt. Yes, indeed, it was self-inflicted. But this young man, I want you to stop for a moment. I want you to think through the suffering that he brought on himself. Leaving his daddy. Later on, you find out that him and his dad didn't have this terrible relationship. This boy just got a rebellious wild hair and decided to go out and do his own thing. But he didn't set out intentionally as an evil person to hurt his dad. But I want you to picture it. He leaves his dad. He gets out of fellowship with his dad. And if you love your dad and if your dad loves you, to have broken fellowship, that hurts.
Yes, sir.
That hurts. He leaves mom. And boy, that might hurt more. I'll tell you what, that special relationship between mom and a child. Now, I want you to think through the prodigal son and his situation. He's left daddy. He's left mama. And remember, we can have that tendency to say, "Well, he rebelled and he ran away." I know. But rebellion hurts people.
Right.
Rebellion hurts people. Though it's self-inflicted, the devil. Hey, devil doesn't care if you hurt yourself or somebody else hurts you. He's just out to hurt. That's all there is to it. He's just out to hurt. And here this young man is. He's left dad. He's left mom. He's left home. And there's just something about when you used to living at home and you leave it, there's a certain pain that you can suffer because you leave home. He had a brother at home, we find out. He left the fellowship of his brother. He left his home area in a backslidden tizzy. He leaves his home area. He begins to waste. The Bible says he wasted all of his substance. Any of you ever get away from God and you lose a bunch of money or you lose everything because of it? That hurts. It hurts. You say, "I brought it on." I realize that, but I'm getting past the what brought it on and getting down to the pain that's down inside you. The result of whatever caused the rebellion and someone to leave God. He wastes his substance. The Bible says he wasted it on riotous living. It's not righteous living, but riotous, like a riot. He wasted it. Let me tell you, riotous living hurts. You know, you go out and paint the town red on Saturday night, you wake up Sunday morning and hate the color red. Oh, what wicked living will do to you. You say, "Well, they shouldn't choose to live wrong." Yeah, but people do. And I'm here to tell you, on Sunday morning, there are a lot of broken hearts because of Saturday night. You say, well, they shouldn't have done it on Saturday night. I agree, but I'm here to say somebody better love the people that are brokenhearted on Sunday morning after they messed up their life on Saturday night. They wasted the righteous living, the heartache and the pain of living away from God. He spent it all. A famine came into the land. And listen, for you and I who are careful with our money, for you and I who have learned to do right by God with the tithe and to give our offering and to work hard and to earn an income and to get promotion. Hey, when a famine comes in the land, that's going to be hard on us. When you're right with God, a famine in the land can be hard on you. But when you're wrong with God and a famine comes in the land, it is double devastating. I want you to know that down inside this boy was hurt. He was hurt. He was away from his dad and away from his mom and away from home and away from his brother and away from his home area. And righteous living is dicing him to shreds. And he had spent it all and he's broken and a famine came in the land. Picture the mental suffering that this young man faced because of the bad decisions he had made. Look, we know something about making good decisions. He had lived in a good household, so he knew something about making good decisions. He had made bad decisions, and may I submit to you, when somebody that's saved and got a bit of a conscience to them makes bad decisions, those decisions will dice them to shreds on the inside. They're not stupid. That's why so many times they don't need us to say, you're stupid. They probably already know that. They probably already know that that was not a good decision. Oh, he ends up with no food. He ends up suffering, knowing. And picture the suffering. He wasn't a dumb boy. I mean, as he's suffering, he's lost all of his money. He's away from mom, away from dad. He's in a distant country. He's eating with the pigs. Don't you think at night at supper time when he was eating husks, he knew mama was at home making cornbread? You could smell it. He knew his brother would sit down and have cornbread and a big old glass of milk, and they would eat well that night with some of Mama's homemade apple pie. Don't you know that he knew that? And can you picture the boy sitting on a log outside the pigsty, realizing what he had done to himself? And the mental anguish and the mental punishment that somebody with a conscience would put themselves through as a result of bad decisions. You see, suffering. Hey, you know how bad this kid suffered? And listen to this. I want you to stop and think about it for a second. Let me tell you how bad this kid was suffering. He was suffering so bad that when he finally came to himself and said, I'm going to go home. When he got home, he had beat himself up so bad on the inside. He went home and said, Dad, I don't even deserve to be called your son. What an empty, devastated boy. I've embarrassed you. I've embarrassed me. And Dad, if you don't even want me to hold your last name, it's okay. I don't deserve to have your last name. You say, well, he brought it on. You're a Pharisee. Indeed, he did. That's clear to us all. But can you get past what brought it on and get to the broken heart underneath? I don't. And this boy even says it twice. He says to himself, I don't even deserve to wear my daddy's last name. And when he got home, he goes to his dad and he said, Dad, I think I've learned my lesson. And if you just want me to be like one of your slaves or hired servants, I'll live in the servants' quarters and I'll do what you tell me. I don't even deserve your last name, Dad. But I want to come home. Get this. In this process, and so you know, he suffers on. And though he comes home and he's reconciled with mom and dad and his brother and they throw him a party, do you know later on in life he had already spent his inheritance?
Right.
40 years later, when dad died, everybody else still had inheritance. This boy had already wasted the inheritance dad had set aside by him. He wasted it all when he was young. Don't you think that hurt? He's hurting. But let me show you something. Thank God. I like the story. You see, in chapter 15, verse number 18, toward the end of the story, it says, this young man, he comes to himself. He's feeding the pigs. His life is a mess. And so you know he is hurting, real hurt. He's got a real heart. He's suffering real pain. The Bible says this young man comes to himself, and this is what the Bible says in verse 18. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Here's what happens. You know it. The young man goes home, and he gets right with God. Now, let me point something out to you. This young man's hurt produced some helps. I mean, his hurt, there's nothing we can do about it now. He's already done it. He's already hurt himself. He's already wounded his heart and wounded his potential and wounded himself. But there's some positives that come out of this very difficult story. You see, when he was all the way at the bottom, he came to himself. He ends up getting right with God, and that's worth more than a monetary money inheritance. He brings joy to his parents because he gets a hold of himself and he jump starts a new spiritual life. He's reunited with his family. And folks, let me tell you something about our suffering, your suffering, my suffering, anyone's suffering. Suffering will reveal you to you. When you're suffering, you're going to figure out what you're made of. Suffering is almost like an x-ray machine. When you're going through suffering, you really get to see what's down inside you. Look, when everything's peachy king, everything's hunky-dory, and everything's just right, nobody really gets to see what you're made of. But when you start going through hardship, when you start going through trial, when burden comes your way, when heartache comes your way, when pain comes your way, when hurt comes your way, it pulls the curtain back and you get to see what you are. That's what happened. I think that's what happened with this boy. Our suffering can reveal to us. Your behavior during the tough times will make you face you. Now listen, we suffer other than self-inflicted hurts. There are many other hurts in life. And this morning, my sermon's not all about the prodigal son. That's not my sermon this morning. My sermon is about suffering. My sermon is about hurts in life. But there are other kinds of hurts, not just self-inflicted hurts. There are hurts that come from others. We all suffer pain and we all suffer hurt. And you hear me say this so often, young people, and especially some of you that are growing up in Christian homes, or you got a mom and dad that have you in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and they've got you in the Christian school, and you've got a great youth department, and they are trying to give you a bit of a haven in which to live in a dark and a wicked world. Young people, you listen to me. You may have the protection of mom and dad, but there's coming a day when you are going to suffer your hurt. You won't get out of it without being hurt. Right. It's going to happen. It's a part of life. So young people, you set up and listen. And let's fill your heart and your mind with some very much needed future advice. But anybody that's an adult, has been an adult any time at all, as you sit there today, you say, boy, everything the guy's saying, I need. Oh, I need this. Because life includes hurt. Sometimes we bring it on ourselves, but I'll remind you, brought on by yourself or brought on by another, the heart still hurts. And there's still pain and there's still loneliness. I happen to believe it probably hurts more when you hurt yourself than you're hurt by another. Probably the people that have hurt themselves that are saved suffer more than those that suffer inflicted by another. The death of a loved one will bring hurt or pain. This week here at our church, on Wednesday, we laid to rest a lady that had been in this church for many, many years, Miss Sue Weibel. I preached a sermon called, She Was Always Scraping the Bottom of the Barrel. There are people that are hurting today because someone they love has gone on to heaven. Those hurts are real. And those of you, you say, I've really never had anybody pass away that's close to me. You will. And you'll experience an emptiness and a hurt and a problem that you can't solve. And it'll dig deep into your emotional bank and you'll feel a bit bankrupt because of it. There's the pain of disease. Thinking of our dear man, Herb Renner, went to have his heart tested, and next thing you know, they said, we're going to do an angioplasty. And that led to another thing, and at the beginning of the week, a five-way bypass surgery on his heart. He did not expect it to go that route. Talk about hurt and fear and pain. The pain of a broken heart. The pain. You say, Brother Owens, my husband has hurt me and he's broken my heart. Oh, the pain of marital stress. My wife has broken my heart and the pain of those hurts. My child has broken my heart. That hurt is real. Whether it's self-inflicted or brought on by another, it's real. But folks, let me remind you, we are in a spiritual battle. Don't ever forget, this is really all about a battle between God, our Father, and the devil, and we're a part of it. And I want you to learn to face your hurts with a bit of spiritual logic. Don't panic. When the hurt comes, I know it hits you and it kind of knocks you for a daze, but as soon as possible, grab a hold of yourself spiritually, shake yourself and say, you know what? I can't panic. I can't run. I'm in a battle. I knew I was in a battle. Right now, I'm a wounded soldier, but I know how to behave when I get hurt.
Amen.
And shake yourself and spiritually throw out the anchor and lock in on God, but don't panic. Realize that we are in a battle and realize there are spiritual lessons, and there are tools that can help us. Let me help you. Listen very carefully. Let me give you some things that hurt will bring in your life. Let me give you some positive results from some negative occurrences. Let me show you how God can better your life and others because of difficult times. Let me show you why. Maybe some of the reasons why we suffer hurt. Maybe you suffer hurt that helps somebody else, or I suffer hurt that helps you. But God's always out to help the cause of Christ and to help Christians. See, God's good all the time. He's good all the time. And I ought to interject this one little thought in here. Our people have heard me say it over and over again, but we need to remember it every day of the life of our lives. God will never put anything more on you than what you can bear. He will not. He will not overload you. God never has overloaded anybody, and He never will overload anybody. So if you're in the midst of a battle, you can make it and you can take it. You can if you choose to, because your God's there to help you. But there are some helps that come from our hurts.
Yes,
let me show you what some of those are. Let me say, number one, our hurts may cause someone else to get saved. Listen as I read some scripture to you. Paul suffered great hurt, but it helped others to get saved. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me," that's Paul, "have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." The gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a way that God saves people. "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." This is what Paul said. Paul said, there have been a lot of tough things happen to me. Paul suffered shipwreck. Paul had been beaten. Paul had been accused falsely. Paul had been hurt. Paul had been put in jail. Paul had been snake bit. So many things happened to Paul, and Paul said, "My pain and my suffering has made the gospel go forward." You say, "Brother Owens, how does that work?" I don't know, but it works. That's how it works. God may use your hurt to bring someone else to salvation.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you this. Miss Sue Weibel passed away, and we suffered heartache and pain as we seen her body laid to rest. But at the end of the funeral sermon, I gave an invitation for salvation. And I watched her family members raising their hand, trusting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. God said, you may not always understand it. Those of you in the balcony, you say, "I hurt, I'm in pain, I'm in misery." You say, "But the ones I don't understand it all." Hey, I don't understand it all either. But let me tell you something. It might just be that you're in pain because somebody's going to get saved as a result of your pain. that doesn't seem fair, don't debate fairness with God. Just stop and realize, let God be God. And if that be the case, let it be so. Let it be so. Listen, any little physical pain you and I face as Christians is nothing compared to glory in heaven. And we're assured a mansion in heaven someday. If God wanted me to suffer a little pain and it meant somebody else being saved, it's well worth it. And you might calculate in there the suffering of Jesus Christ, the sinless one, for sinful mankind. He didn't deserve what He went through, but He suffered. Why? For the furtherance of the gospel. You read the story in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. There's a story of a man by the name of Saul, who is standing nearby when a young man by the name of Stephen is being stoned to death. And Stephen is being stoned to death for his stand for Jesus Christ. And standing nearby, there's a fellow named Saul. Now, I'm sure when men were picking up boulders and bashing in the head of Stephen, because Stephen was faithful to God, and they were in an angry, evil way trying to destroy Stephen, I'm sure there were moments when Stephen said, "Why is this happening? I love God. I'm faithful to church. I'm faithful to my Lord. And I'm being stoned to death." Little did Stephen know that standing nearby was a man named Saul that had never been born again. As a result of the testimony of Stephen taking the pain and taking the hurt, the Apostle Paul, this man named Saul got saved later on. He became Paul. He wrote 14 books of the New Testament. Hey, let me ask you a question, Stephen. Why are you in pain? Hey, before the pain, he didn't know why he was going through it. After the pain in heaven, he looked down and he said, "Look at that guy named Paul there. There. He got saved as a result of the pain that I suffered." Yeah, he said it was worth it all. And my friend, there are some of you that are suffering right now, and I truly believe that somebody's going to get saved because of your suffering. You may see him get saved. You may not see him get saved. It may be a family member of yours or a family member of mine, but God does not waste suffering. You're not just suffering because God's a great big mean old God that's trying to make you suffer. He has a purpose, and there is help in your hurt. Inside the hurt, somebody, somewhere, something's being helped. Sometimes our hurts soften our own hearts. We get hurt. Whether it's self-inflicted pain or pain by another or broken heart or devastation. Let me tell you something. Hurt will soften the heart. When God softens your heart, hey, maybe it is God is trying to soften your heart about the loss. Has pain and suffering come into your life because God is trying to get you to be soft enough to become a soul winner? You see, I say to you, our hurts may cause someone else to be saved. It may be the very thing that God's trying to get out of your pain is that you get a soft heart and you become a soul winner and tell others about Jesus Christ. I just know this in Philippians 1, 12 through 13, the Apostle Paul said, all of my hurt was for the furtherance of the gospel, people being saved. Let me say to you secondly, and everybody look right this way, please. Don't miss the purpose of the sermon. Number two, our hurts can cause us to become conquerors in life. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 says this: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Now, here, notice that. Tribulation, and distress, and persecution, and famine, and nakedness, and peril, and sword. And God said, when you're going through that, you know, all that equals up to hurt. All that equals up to agony and pain. All that equals up to burden. And God said, if you can take that, if you can take that, in verse 37, two verses later, He says this: nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. God said, you listen to me, Christian. If you can take the nakedness, and if you can take the peril, and if you can take the hurt, and if you can take the pain, I'm going to give you the opportunity to be more than a conqueror. And notice, it does not say just a conqueror. He says you're going to be more than a conqueror. Huh. You see, hurt gives you the opportunity to be a conqueror. The toughest Christians I know have suffered much hurt in life. You can either let your hurt make you into something great, or let it break you into something useless. It's up to you. It is up to you. You're going to face hurt. Here the Bible said, God said, when you're suffering tribulation and distress and persecution and famine, when it's all coming at you and it's coming at you hot and heavy, God said, hey, you get ready. I am putting you through boot camp and we're going to war and you have a chance of being a victor. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, our hurts can cause us to be triumphant. More than a conqueror. You let your hurt make you, not break you. And I say to you, the toughest Christians I've ever met in my life are the ones that have been through the most. They suffered heartache, they suffered heartbreak. And they, somebody here today, those of you that are 25 or younger, and you say, Brother Owens, my life has just been tough. I've been through self-inflicted heartache and others inflicted heartache, and my heart's broken. I've been trampled on and beat on, and I've cried and I've suffered. I've been depressed. Let me tell you something. If you're 25 or less and you're in this building right now and you say, I've been through all that, God must have a real big plan for you. He's trying to toughen you up to make you usable somewhere down the way. You look at it and say, oh, it's destroying me. No, it's going to make you if you'll let it. I go to Daniel and I say, Daniel, oh, tell me, Daniel, what made you tough? He said, lion's den. It was the lion's den. It was staying up the night before in fear that a lion would eat my body. That toughened me up. Oh, it was the pain and the heartache of being betrayed and thrown into that lion's den. I say to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I say to you, young men, may I ask you, please, what is it? What made you tough? What made it so you could go down in history like you did? And they all three in unison say, it was the burning, fiery furnace that made me tough. That's what made us tough. I say to Joseph, oh, Joseph, you've become a great man historically, went down in history. What happened? And Joseph come back and he says, I'll tell you what made me tough. It was a day that Potiphar's wife falsely accused me and threw me in prison. And I had to work my way out of that whole mess. That's what made me tough. You're not made tough by sitting on the couch eating Twinkies. You're made tough by going through heartaches and burdens and devastation. And you take it and you make it. And God said, if you can face tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and peril and sword, I will make you more than a conqueror. I want to be more than a conqueror. You see, hurt has tucked within it all sorts of helps. My hurt may get somebody else saved. Secondly, my hurt gives me the opportunity to be more than a conqueror. But let me tell you this, it may give somebody else a chance to be a conqueror.
Yes,
I believe there's somebody watching you take your hurt. There's somebody watching you go through your tough time. There's somebody watching you go through the time of devastation. There's somebody watching you with a broken heart. And they're going to do what you do. When you say, I'm taking a step forward, somebody right behind you says, well, I am too. If he is, I am. If he can, I can. If she can, I can. If she can, I can. You say, who is that person? I don't know. I don't know, but somebody is going to become more than a conqueror because you became more than a conqueror. Let me say number three, our hurts can produce joy in our lives. Hurt produce joy? Oh, yes. Hurt can produce joy. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Notice, here the Bible talks about reaping in joy. But it is prerequisited with sowing in tears. You had to be crying. You had to be brokenhearted. You had to be, hey, your heart had to be crushed to sow in tears. And God said, when you're crushed, you can reap in joy. See the principle? Do you see the concept? Did you know the hotter the day, the more refreshing the air conditioning? Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're a new married couple, the more rotten your wife cooks, the better mama's cooking tastes when you get home. Of course, that's not happening anywhere here. Surviving hurt will help you to enjoy the simple things of life.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. We get our big pie in the sky dreams and we're going to conquer the world and we're going to get all the big boy toys and we're going to gather this and gather that. We've got all these things that we think are going to make us happy and we're gathering them in and we want the perfect scenario and the perfect marriage and the perfect job and the perfect house and the perfect everything. We're gathering them to us and all of a sudden devastation comes. Bang! We're hit. You found out suddenly all those things don't make you happy. Let me tell you this. If you go through and you face the hurt, you decide you're going to make it and you're going to take it. On the other end of it, you can take a drink of water and say, "Wow, that water is so good. It is so refreshing just to be able to take a drink of water." Listen. You go through enough, you have the potential of being very happy in life. You'll figure out a good night's rest is just worth it all. Oh, yeah. Mrs. Owens and I have shared together our fair share of hurts. Last night, we laid down together in our bed, and I said to her, "Isn't it great to have a mattress?" She said, "I love this mattress." We just talked about our mattress. Hey, you let the devil attack you and malign you and beat on you and try to destroy you and hurt you and attack your family, and you go through it, you go through it, you go through it, you go through it, you go through it. You get a moment, you get a feel, the cushion of the mattress, and you say, "You know what? This feels good." You don't even taste your food. You swallow it like an iguana whole. Tell you, somebody that's been through hell in a handbag, you give them a meal, they'll taste it and say, "Boy, that tastes good." Take the time. Some of the simplest things of life become some of the biggest things in life. Hey, the joys that are available to us all but not acknowledged by us all are better acknowledged when you've been through a lot. Y'all know what I mean? Y'all know what I mean? When you go through it and you think everything's crumbling and everything that really means something to you in life is falling apart, and then you get the simplest of blessings and you say, "Wow. Wonder how many times I've driven my car to the top of the mountain and the sunshine was shining. And when I arrived at the top, I said, what a beautiful day. What a beautiful day. It seemed a relief to see the sunshine." Why? Because sometimes the darkness of our burdens. And I say to you, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I can't help but think of Brother Paul Mongan and what he went through when he lost his legs. Oh, Brother and Mrs. Mongan, what they went through. Can I tell you something? You don't enjoy walking. You don't. Most of you don't enjoy walking. You don't enjoy your legs. You say, "Brother Owens, if your legs were as big as mine, you wouldn't enjoy them either." But that's not what I'm talking about. The other day, Brother Mongan and I were having a meeting in my office. Excuse me, Paul, but like a little boy, he jumped up. He had his prosthetic legs on. He said, "Watch this." He started walking around my office. I thought, amen. Amen. Had he not gone through the jaws of death to have his legs amputated, he would have never truly appreciated being able to do this. And I'm telling you, life makes it so you can experience the purest of joy, and your heartaches somehow make joy a little more exciting. Did you know that going into labor, ladies, that 9-month waiting period to go into the jaws of death to produce a child, the pain of labor brings forth the joy of a baby? You say, "Brother Owens, is it the joy of having the baby?" No, it's the joy of having the baby process over with. Jesus took the cross. And let me tell you, the joy, the ultimate joy of taking the burden and the heartache of the cross on the day of the resurrection. Hey, let me say this to you. Within our hurts, there are helps. There's something. Look, we're in a spiritual battle. When the devil hits you with the burden and the devil hits you with the heartache, I want you to understand. I wish I could get you to say, all right, I know what to do. Number one, it may be that somebody's going to get saved because of this. Number two, I have a chance of becoming a conqueror. I have that chance. Number three, hey, this could produce joy in my life. Now, I know at first it may not, but eventually it can produce that joy in your life. I say to you, number four, your hurts can help you to become wise. Listen as I read. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2, 3, and 4. It says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men. And the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. Listen now. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. Here the Bible says, the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. Here someone is mourning. Maybe mourning the loss of a loved one, mourning the pain of life, mourning the devastation of life. But God said the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. Meaning this, when you're going through a difficult time, if you would like, God would like to increase your wisdom at that time. God would like to increase your insight into life. And one of the ways he'd like to increase your insight is by reminding you, you are in a spiritual battle. Don't forget. You're in a spiritual battle. Whatever you're going through, it's really all about spiritual things. Stop and realize your marital problem, it's a spiritual battle. Stop and realize the problem with that child, it's a spiritual battle. Stop and realize everything going on in your life, whether it's the selling of the house, the changing of the job, it is a spiritual battle, and the devil is involved, and God is involved, and that's really where it is. Don't you let the devil blindside you to make you think you're going through all this and it's not for a reason, and you're just a piddly little human living down here on a piddly little earth. No, you are one of God's children, and the devil hates God and the devil hates you, and he's trying to destroy you, and whatever's happening, it's a part of the spiritual battle. You say, I got in trouble and I've hurt myself. It's a part of a spiritual battle. That's what it is. And your hurts can make you wise if you allow them to. Wise to help yourself. God would like some of you to wisen up so you don't hurt yourself. Hey, God wanted the prodigal son to wisen up so he didn't repeat his foolishness. But not only that, some of you, you're going to become wise and you can help others. I would rather we learn the lessons of life through the Word of God, learn the lessons of life and let the Spirit of God lead us. But I'll tell you something. We are going to learn a bunch of lessons of life by making mistakes and going through the discipline of God and the loss that we suffer. We learn those lessons. But let me say, when we go through those, you and I should become wiser to keep ourselves out of a mess. But we're becoming wiser for the sake of others. You know, it's too bad. Too bad some of you have been through so much. You don't use it to help anybody. You don't teach a Sunday school class. You're not a bus captain. What are you wasting the wisdom of your heartache for? Why would you do that? Why would you sit back and stew and feel sorry for yourself? And I wouldn't even mind you feeling sorry for yourself if you go do something with it. You'll be wiser to help others and wiser to help yourself. Do you know the death of a loved one can make you wiser? You say, how so? Well, for some of you, you're going to lose a loved one and you never spend any time with them, and they died and you were at odds with them when they died, and you're going to figure it out. You should have been kind to them while they were alive. Amen. And dead people can't smell flowers. So the flowers you gave them on their grave did them no good. Yeah. And you're going to figure out that people are more important than things. And you're going to say, you know something? I'm going to love people. I'm going to get my eyes off of this world and what we claim makes us happy. And I'm going to start looking at the two things that are most important. That's God and people. You see, our hurts can make us wise. The death of a loved one can make us wise. Maybe the death of a loved one will make you realize that death is imminent. You need to be a soul winner. Hey, listen. I want to thank you. Your heartaches help me to become wise. I wish your heartaches would make you become wise. I go through your heartache with you, and God uses it to train me how to help somebody else go through a heartache. I said to a young man that this week, we talked for a moment about something, and he said he was going to go talk to someone about a particular item and get a little advice. I don't know who it was. It was Brother Brett Williamson and I. We were talking about something, and I said, Brett, when you get that advice, come back and tell me what you learned. It's not a heartache. It's not a burden. Nothing going wrong. But he came. He got seeking counsel. I said, I don't know the answer to that. Won't you go get the answer and bring it back to me, because I'd like to learn from it. Let me tell you something. As you're going through the heartaches and the difficulties of life, those could make you wiser. I have spent my life with people that are hurting and helping them through the hurt so I could gain the wisdom of how to survive the hurt and how to avoid some of the hurt. It breaks my heart that I can stand up here and say, don't do this, because if you do, it'll break your heart. And people go do it anyway. You say, well, how do you know? I've been through it with hundreds of people. I watched them make the same mistake. And I'm just saying that's going to hurt you. But hurt can bring wisdom. Your heartache could make you wiser. The prodigal's brother. You know the prodigal's brother, the one that stayed home? I'm going to guess that was a pretty smart boy. He watched his brother go through the rebellion process. He watched his brother move away. He watched his brother lose it all. He watched his brother go through it all. He watched his brother lose his inheritance. Yeah, his brother came home. They threw a little shindig for him. But let me tell you that later on in life, when it was time to inherit Dad's farm, I really believe that the boy that stayed home got the big inheritance. Some of you that have watched others leave the church in rebellion, or watched your... Hey, some of you that live at home, you watched a brother, you watched a sister rebel, you ought to be 10 times wiser because of the hurt that they brought on themselves. Some of you ought to be saying, I'm not going down that path. I watched my brother, it destroyed his life. I watched my sister, it destroyed his life. I watched my mom, it destroyed her life. I watched my dad, it destroyed his life. I'm not going down that path. Become wise on hurt. Let hurt catapult your wisdom. Our hurts can make us wise. Number 5, our hurts can produce personal righteousness. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. See, at first hurt's not pleasant, but hurt can yield the fruit of righteousness. That means clean living, decent living. Hey, even your self-inflicted hurt, let it convict you of your sin. That's what it's supposed to do. The reason you reap what you have sown is not because God just wants to smash you. You reap what you have sown so you can learn lessons so you don't sow again. If you suffer any hurt, let it cause you to search your life for sin. Do you know that tragedy can lead to revival? Tragedy can lead to revival. I have watched the tragic death of a loved one lead a whole family into a revival. When somebody is hurting around you, when you're hurting, search your life and say, is there sin in my life? And I'm not trying to say to you that because someone went through a tragedy, there was sin in their life. That's between them and God. But you search your heart. When you go through tragedy, you search your heart and say, is there sin in my life? I've watched family after family experience revival because of the hurt, either self-inflicted or inflicted by another, into that family or a member of that family's life. And everybody stopped and they said, you know what? We better search our heart for sin. And if there's sin in there, we need to get it out of there. Let's learn from this. Let's let the hurt produce righteousness in our life. You see, this thing of hurt, it comes for a reason. We're in a spiritual battle. And stop and realize, when you get hit, you're not to panic. You're to realize there's a spiritual battle going on. Shake yourself. Grab a hold of your spiritual attention. You know something? It might be that somebody's going to get saved because of this. It might be that God wants me to be more than a conqueror. It might be that God is going to bring joy on the other end of this. Hey, it is that God is trying to increase my wisdom. God is trying to help me to live a more righteous life. Oh, I love this, and I'm finished. This is my last point, and I wish I had 20 minutes because I'm so excited to get here. Our hurts gives God an opportunity to shut the devil up about us. I like this. Let me read something to you real quickly. It's about the story of Job.
In Job chapter 1, verse 8, 9, and 10, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath in every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." What had happened is the devil came to God and he said, "You know what? I'd like to take a crack at this boy down here named Job." And God said, "All right, I'm going to let you do that." And the devil said, "Well, yeah, but you kind of watch out for him in a special way." And God said, "I'll step back. I'll let you take a crack at him. Brother, I'll tell you what. I really don't want to go through everything that Job went through, but I sure would like God to say, okay, Owens can take it. I'll step back." Can you imagine the compliment that God just paid Job? God said, "You know, it's like, hey, oh, two boys are going to fight, but one has a big brother standing right there. The other little boy said, but your big brother is here." And the big brother says, "I'll leave then. I'll let my brother handle you by himself." That's what happened here. That's what happened. God believed in Job. Now, Job believed in God, but God believed in Job. God said, "Job can take it." God believes in you. God believes whatever the burden, whatever the heartache, whatever the distress, God believes in you. And God thinks you can make it, and God thinks you can take it. You say, "I feel like God's forsaken me a little bit." So, if He has, what a compliment. And I'm not saying He had, but I think God could take a step back and say, "Let's see how you do on your own for a moment." You say, "Well, what should I do?" Step up and take it. Don't put your tail between your legs and run. Stop and realize, if God has allowed some burden or some heartache, He believes you can make it. He believes you can take it. He believes you're going to be fine. God wouldn't allow your hurt to come if He didn't believe you could take it. God is not out to destroy you. He's out to make you. Listen to this. Listen to what happens. Of course, you know, the devil tears the shreds out of Job. Family, health, riches, everything. And in Job chapter 1, verse number 20, 21, 22, it says this: "Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all his sin, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. What an attitude. Everything that Job went through, all the hurt, all the pain, all of it, all the pain that he went through, the Bible says he worshiped God. You know what that meant? He praised God. He said, "Praise God. You tore me to shreds, but praise God anyhow." The Bible says Job took on this attitude. He said, "Well, I came into this world with nothing. Satan's taken everything. I'll go out of this world with nothing. I'm fine and dandy."
Amen. Well, that's good.
Job, the Bible says, bless God. And in all of this, he did not sin. And he charged not God foolishly. He didn't look at God and say, "You're unfair. I'm mad at you." That's not what Job did. Hey, listen, my friend. God deserves glory even when the chips are down for you. I said, God still deserves glory even when the chips are down for you. This is not all about you. This is all about God. And we are His servants. And whatever He chooses is to be fine and dandy with us. We ought to be big enough to say, "You're my God. And whatever you say, God, that's fine. I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna take it." Hey, let's show the devil we love God even during the heartache. Let's show the devil that we trust God even during the heartache. The devil comes along. He wants to attack Job. God says, "I'll let you do it." He does it. He tears him to shreds. And Job just keeps on taking it and taking it. And in the end, Job handled himself so well, said he didn't even sin against God when he went through all of that. Let's show the devil that we trust God no matter what. Could God brag on you during the tough times? See, the devil comes and says, "Look at that one right there. Panicked, freaking out, doing drugs. getting high. They claim to be saved, but they can't. They're looking for every way under the sun to handle their burden. Look at that. Here's a woman. She's running from her husband. They've come across tough times. They have forgotten that it's a spiritual battle. So we're going to bust up the marriage. And the devil says, see that right there, God? There's another one. Can't take it. God, they're leaving the church. Can't take it. God, they're quitting on God. They're resigning their duty in the church. Can't take it. That's what the devil's doing. He's the accuser of the brethren. Wouldn't it be nice if in the midst of the devil's attack on the integrity of God's people, God said, well, what about Joe Cowing right over here? He can take it. Would God brag on you in the midst of the battle? Could someone else say, look at everything they're going through, but they keep on serving God. They still have a smile on their face. Oh, they cry themselves to sleep at night, but they come out and realize they've got to keep on going. You see, God allows some hurts as a purifying agent for all of us. But I think there's sometimes God would just like to be able to say, look at that one right down there. There's someone that's claimed all the power that I've made available to them, and they're making it and they're taking it, and that's one of my kids. Right there, more than a conqueror. And I think the devil has to say, you got me there. That's one tough cookie. She's one tough gal. That's one tough Christian. You see, the prodigal son got away from God and brought upon himself hurt after hurt after hurt after hurt. But tucked in the story, we see things that are helped. When he got right with God, he was helped. His brother was helped. His mom was helped. His dad was helped. Others were helped. You say, what kind of helps? What kind of helps can possibly come from our hurts? I say to you, somebody might get saved. I say to you that you may have the opportunity to become more than a conqueror. I say to you, you might see joy. You might become wise. It'll produce righteousness in your life, and it could shut the devil up. Are you saved here today? If you're not saved, your life will be miserable. A life is miserable without Jesus Christ. You say, well, what do I need to do? There's a battle for your soul going on. Satan wants you to say no to trusting Jesus Christ as Savior, and Jesus wants you to say yes. Don't waste the hurt and misery of your life to this day by dying and going to hell. Why don't you get saved today? Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, what'll be the result? Joy. You can become more than a conqueror. Somebody else can get saved. You can become wise. You could develop righteousness in your own personal life. You see, the result's the same even over the subject of salvation. I say to you, there are helps in our hurt. Let's not ignore them. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the question to you is, if you died this very day, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? If you say, I am not sure of that, then you need to get saved today. Who here would say, preacher, I am not saved. I am not born again. Pray for me. God spoke into my heart. I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher? That's what I need. Good, I see that hand. Who else? Good, I see that hand. Who else? In the balcony, on the lower floor, you say, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. If I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Listen, if you're not saved, in a moment, we're going to give a thing called an altar call. Here's how it'll work. In a second, the instrumentalist will begin to play. We'll all stand. The choir will begin to sing. The men sitting on the platform will step down to the lower level and post themselves at the end of each aisle. When we do that, I'll invite you to come. You leave your seat, whether in the balcony or the lower floor. If you're not saved, leave your seat. Walk down here. Say to one of the men, I want to be saved. God will save you, and you can go to heaven when you die. Who here is a born-again Christian? And you say, Brother Owens, I've suffered the hurts. I've suffered the pain. I'm going through it even right now. But I want the benefits of the hurt. And I see it. And I'm reminded that it's a spiritual battle. But I see there's something in this. And God's trying to do something for me, not just to me. And I want to survive it. But God, in a special way, has spoken to my heart this morning. As a result of this sermon, will you raise your hand? And there are hands up all over the building already. God bless you. God bless you in the balcony on the lower floor. And if for some reason you need to use this altar this morning, leave your seat, come down here and seal something up with God. Come down here and get on your face and you say, God, please, it hurts, but I want to survive it. And God, I want you to be able to brag on me. And God, I want to become wise. And Lord, is there sin in my life? There's some of you right now, you already know there's sin in your life, and that's what's brought on your heartache. Come down here and do something about it. Come down here and tell the Lord you want help to fix it. If you're here today and you've been saved but you've never made it public, if you're here today and you've been saved and never been baptized, we welcome you to come. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this moment. Let's all stand to our